Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Andrea Simintov. The name of this show is Pull Up a Chair. And this is the last segment of our episodes from the Rainbow Nation, South Africa. Please God, I will be returning to my holy country. I'll be returning to Eretz Yisrael in the middle of the night, Motzi Shabbos, early Sunday morning. And man, oh man, what a month it's been. Today's show, we're going to talk about a few of these observations because most of the month was filled with exciting secular events on the Jewish calendar. Yom HaShoah, the Holocaust Day, we celebrated Yom HaAtzma'ut, Independence Day, and of course, we acknowledge the most agonizing Yom HaZikaron, very painful to be away from Israel in Galut during this time. So we never spoke about the death of Winnie Mandela. We never spoke about what it feels like to be an Israeli in Galut. And I hope that you will stay on the line. Please turn in, press the orange button on your screen. The chat room will be open. You can call in. We can speak. And that is what I want to share with you. Good morning, America. Good morning, my beloved Israel. Good morning, Canada, France, England. What's going on, England? And I hope we have Cyprus on the line. And I pray that we have listeners this morning from Johannesburg. Although I have to tell you, I'm going to be a little tough with them, but I'm also going to be tough on the Jews of Israel. What are we doing to welcome our brothers? It is time to come home. All right. So we have a few moments left. I want to tell everyone summer is coming, although you wouldn't know it in Israel. You wouldn't know it from what I heard. I'm basking in the sun here. I got a little bit of a burn. It is hailing. It is storming until Shabbos. I don't know what God is telling us. Some think it's a wonderful sign. Rain, rain. How can rain be bad? Let's talk about it. See you on the other side.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David HaIvri. Join me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Hear the news and views from the heartland of Israel every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time. Be there.
And we're back. Good morning, Australia. My name is Andrea Simintov. Pull up a chair. Not only do it, it's the name of the show. Okay, so much to talk about. Spent a month in Johannesburg. It was actually my husband's idea, my South African husband, who it's a second marriage, as many of you know. He happens to have his children are in Israel and in England. My grandchildren are in Johannesburg. I miss them greatly. I miss them so greatly during the year that there are times where I kind of crawl up into myself, and what I wouldn't do to feed a plate of macaroni and cheese to a toddler, change a diaper, go out to dinner with a 14-year-old boy. And Pesach came, and he said to me, "You have to go there. You have to be a grandmother. They have to not just see you for holidays, for the chagim, we call them, for bar and bat mitzvahs. They need to see you the way my grandchildren get to see me." And I did it. Not easy to be away for a month, not easy at all, but I did it. And I have spent the month doing all those things and more. But there was something else I have to tell you. Here is where I admit. Before I came, I went to visit the holy folks at Nefesh B'Nefesh, who are responsible for bringing so many American Jews home to Israel. And I said to them, what are you doing for South Africa? And the answer I received was, because there is this South African organization who is supposedly does the same thing, the Jewish agency I tried to contact. South African Jewry is in trouble. South African Jewry, unless one is delusional, there is no doubt that this country is being squeezed from every end, from every side. And it is generally, I am speaking in generalizations, a fabulously Zionist country. Bnei Akiva is very, very powerful here. So many of the Jews who made Aliyah from Johannesburg, from Cape Town, from Durban, and other areas were part of the Bnei Akiva movement. Very powerful. I used to blame the Jews of South Africa. What are you doing here? Because you have a pool? Because you have 24/7 housekeeping help? Believe me, it's very enticing. Having said that, they're stuck between rocks and the money is worthless. They live in beautiful homes and beautiful properties, but the houses are falling apart because people are losing their jobs. There's a very popular word that I really didn't even know until I got here called retrenchment. Men are losing their jobs. Women are losing their jobs. Although for many years, women actually have the luxury of being stay-at-home moms and raising incredible children. Well, women are working, but I must tell you, people are losing their jobs. They're pulling up stakes. They're selling their homes, mamish, for pennies on the dollar or shekels or rands on the dollar. Terrible. And they're still coming. I have never seen so many homes for sale, and I have never met so many people in the Jewish ghetto of Sandringham, Glen Hazel, Sydenham, who are leaving and coming to Israel in circumstances that were very, very different. Okay. So I want to tell you, any South Africans listening here, any South African Jews, come home. There are ways. Contact me. Contact Nefesh B'Nefesh. They are there to help. There are programs starting. Contact the Jewish agency. I have to tell you, I got a little bit creeped out. This is, you know what, I don't care. I'm not going to be popular. What am I going to say? I was a little bit creeped out when there was posted on Facebook by the ambassador to South Africa here. They had an event, Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Independence Day event, in a very major arena, an open-air park. I have to tell you, it was cringeworthy. It was equal to Donald Trump flicking a speck of dandruff off the shoulder of Emmanuel Macron. It was so cringeworthy to see people dancing to Israeli music, to see native South African dancers dancing. The whole thing was just horrible. Dance in Jerusalem, dance in Beit Shemesh, dance in the north, dance in Katzrin, dance in Beersheba. Don't dance in Johannesburg. Pack, pack, pack. You say you can't? Drop me a note. Drop Tamar Yona a note. Drop anyone at this station a note. We will turn over every stone, every rock to bring you home and try to help you make it. You must leave. You are living in a cemetery for Jewish people. Okay. So having said that, I got my point out. I came here to be with grandchildren. And I was with grandchildren. I also came because one of my daughters was expecting her fourth child, her fourth son, as a matter of fact, as she well knew. And I said, gee, she'll have it's going to be a fourth baby, very, very pregnant. I'll be here for the birth. I'll be here for the bris, the circumcisions. And what a wonderful opportunity. And then we were counting the days, and I knew I'm leaving on Motzi Shabbos Sunday night. And so she had to Sunday morning. I'm leaving Saturday night, Sunday morning. So she would have had to have had the baby by the middle of the day last Shabbos, last Saturday. And we're watching at one point when her husband, who's extremely protective and extremely Italian, when he wasn't looking, we put her on the treadmill, we threw her on the trampoline, we made her walk. We told him that she was drinking chamomile tea when indeed we had her sipping raspberry tea. Nothing. The baby appeared. I went to her to three obstetrics appointments. Very exciting for me. I really got to be a mother. Nothing. Today, it is Thursday morning. Last night, she felt again. She felt like she's been in labor the entire month. It's been a very kind of draggy, moany kind of month. And last night, she said, I really think I'm in labor. And so we timed it. We said, it's the same as everything. She began screaming. We put her in the car at 9:45. At 10:15, Baruch Hashem, thank God, the baby was born, little baby boy, whose name will be Parking Lot Scalabrino. He was born in the parking lot outside of the hospital with my daughter standing up against the car. My son-in-law caught the baby. They were alone. And, you know, the streets of Johannesburg are pretty empty at night. And there was a wonderful security guard who did come out with a wheelchair. And eventually the medical staff was called. She paid so much extra for, like, these private wards and these private wings and to have a really luxurious experience. And instead she gave birth alongside of her Explorer. I don't know. Explorer, Everest. It's a big car, a very big car. All right. So Mazel Tov. I expect to hear from you. I will not be here for the bris. I am very tired. It has been a late night. And okay. So that is that. That is the baby. All right. Winnie Mandela. I hated Winnie Mandela. I really had heard the worst things about her, the most terrible things. And I know that she is the inventor. What more did I need? The inventor of the famous necklace. The necklace to detractors. You take a tire or an old rubber tire. You fill it with rags soaked in gasoline. You put it around the head of your enemy. And this is how you teach the masses a lesson. I thought that was all that needed to be said. I know that Nelson Mandela divorced her. He is an icon. His picture is everywhere. His picture is on all the money and they love him. And I thought Winnie was not loved, not liked, not true. I even spoke with several white Jews who said she did enormous, enormous good for the workers of South Africa, was a huge partner to him in bringing down the shackles of apartheid. There's more to be said. I don't know much more because she died. I was going to say, unfortunately, she died. I don't know. She died during the most important days to me. Yom HaShoah, Yom HaZikaron, V'Yom HaTzma'ut. It was very indelicate timing. So not everything is the way we think it to be. Oh, did I get fat in South Africa? Fat, fat, fat. The eating here, the food, you know, not just everybody makes fun. They talk about the braais and the meat. And, you know, if it walks, they throw it on a grill here. They just eat. I have grandchildren who just will not touch a vegetable. Very, very South African. To be a vegetarian in South Africa is to be absolutely, it's like to walk around with a scarlet letter, a scarlet V. Nevertheless, I did eat out. I went out last night with my 14-year-old grandson, my oldest grandson. We've been waiting for many years to have a date together. And we did. And it was very interesting. He knows his politics. He has to learn Afrikaans in school. He is in a Haredi yeshiva, I promise you. And he has to learn Hebrew. He has to learn Afrikaans. He does not have to learn Zulu. He is very, he's very well versed on the politics here. And everybody here, it used to be that nobody talked about leaving South Africa. It was almost as if they were ashamed to open their eyes. And now apparently everyone, the most loyal, staunch, born and bred, butts, know that those with kippahs, they know it's time to get out. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
And we're back. Good morning, Philippines. My name is Andrea Simintov. Pull Up a Chair is the name of the show. You are listening to the unbelievable and unbeatable Israel News Talk Radio. Last comment regarding South Africa. Well, about Johannesburg in particular. The crime is rampant. Every one of my children who do live here have been subjected to either home robberies, armed home robberies, stick-ups, muggings, a classic form of crime called the smash and grab. And it is rough. It is rough. If you are lucky, the crime that is inflicted upon you will not result in bodily harm. Give it up. I have great jewelry. I never bring it down here. And it is really shocking. So, again, the point of this one-hour program broken into three segments is not to talk about the cause of the crime, the cause, the ideology, the pros and cons of the heinous apartheid system, but just to say it is not a relaxed life. And I guess everybody gets used to their own Dalet Amos, their own four walls. People ask me often, how could you live in Israel? It is so dangerous. And my answer is, how can you not live in Israel? It is so true. Okay, I think that's about it. I have spent my week. Okay, before we go on, I just want to finish up. We had a lot of jokes this week about Kate Middleton. Listen, I wish them well, but the way Kate Middleton looked both before and after pregnancy was not a familiar look around this house. And there were a lot of vulgarities tossed about in several languages regarding the perkiness of Kate Middleton both before and after she delivered her baby out of the hospital in, 7 hours, 10 hours. And my daughter said she just hopes that Kate and William don't steal their name. Okay, we're going to move on from there. Okay, Natalie Portman. Yeah, we're not going to talk about her. You all know, anybody who's listened to this show any amount of time knows what I think about actors in general. All right? She's an actor. I don't care where she went to school. All right? I don't care where she went to school. I don't care her degrees. Silly, silly, silly girl. All right? Stop having a cow over it. And you know what the other thing to stop having a cow over, and I'm going to get in trouble from this one. I know it. Germany, the kippah protest. Angela Merkel saying there's no room for anti-Semitism in Germany. Really? There's no room. You know what? It's all over. Stop having a cow. Move forward. Soar. They're now they're appointing tsars, commissioners to combat anti-Semitism. What has happened for the last 6,000 years? The reason there's anti-Semitism is because they didn't apply tsars. They didn't apply commissioners. I am so, so bored. I'm bored with Natalie Portman. I'm bored with Germany. I'm very bored with England. And yes, I'm very bored with the British rabbinate. I'm bored with the South African rabbinate. And again, you know the theme of this show. Come home. Stop trying to change those who do not want you. By the way, I told you that very embarrassing scene that the Israeli embassy here put together for Yom Ha'atzma'ut. And they posted it on Facebook. I'm glued to Facebook all the time. I love it. It's where I get my main source of information. That was, you're supposed to laugh there. Anyway, there were such anti-Semitic, not everybody wrote, oh, it's wonderful. There was a lot of, oh, it's wonderful, beautiful. Am Yisrael, hi, the people of Israel live. I hate it. The honesty came from, no, thank you, go home. From certain people, and certain people wrote, you'll be next. They mean it. I remember when Yasser Arafat said, we will drive you into the sea. We will destroy you. We will make a jihad against the Jewish people in the pea place, Palestine. You know what? Shimon Peres tripped over himself to say he doesn't really mean it. What he really means is fill in the blank. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Anyway, if they say they hate you, they say they're going to kill you, don't. Okay, yes, you should be able to wear your kippah anyway. You should be able to wear it in Zimbabwe. You should be able to wear it in Berlin. You should be able to wear it in Hendon. And you should be able to wear it in Tennessee. If you can't, or you think you can't, maybe somebody's telling you something, and maybe it's God. All right. I have to watch the time here because I want to talk about, most important, I want to talk about what my month has been like. I came here and I was immersed. I played games every day. I discovered Raoul Dahl, another famous anti-Semite. Now, I never read any Raoul Dahl because I heard he's a terrible anti-Semite. And yet I found myself reading nightly chapters of James and the Giant Peach. I promise you, I saw the movie Matilda because I love Danny DeVito and I love Rhea Perlman. I roared. I'm very selective with my loathing of anti-Semites. If I laugh, I say, well, maybe you're not that anti-Semitic. I read James and the Giant Peach during this entire time in Johannesburg. Very surreal. Roaring, screaming. The guy is so sick. All right, I did that. Dressing toddlers four times a day who crap in their diapers is like dressing bags of potatoes. This is what I have come to learn, that to dress a toddler is to dress a bag of potatoes. All right. Very interesting. I talked about Facebook, how much I love Facebook. I love it when it's used wholly. I knew I was coming to South Africa, so I contacted a Facebook friend, a guy who I have no idea how I became friends with him. My daughter, one of my daughters who lives here, also was. And I have to get his name right because I want you to look him up and I want you to befriend him. He's incredible. His name is, and I mean this, his name is Great Joy. Great Joy is his name. Great Joy Nidilovo. Nidilovo, N-D, very typical name. He's Zimbabwean, and he is an incredible artist. If I say incredible, even, you know, very often a photograph of one's artwork does not bespeak the passion or the quality or the talent. And yet when I saw this guy's artwork, I said, I have to meet him. Dropped him a note. I said, I'm going to be in South Africa, such and such. He said, listen, I'm doing a show. I would love to meet you. Please come. I'm going to be setting up the show. The show's my daughter and I drove. We plunked it into Waze. We went places. It was very interesting because I'm always in Johannesburg. I'm in this Jewish ghetto and I never leave this Jewish ghetto. And I thought that I have the right to speak about South Africa. No, I don't. I went all over and I drove to neighborhoods and places. I went to townships. It was madness. And I went to the studio of Great Joy Nidilovo. If I tell you, the only thing I didn't do was fall to my knees and weep. His humility, his talent, his gift. And in the 3 minutes remaining, I'm going to go again, Blineda, I'm going to go this evening just to the opening of the show because I want to collect some written material and write an article. Massive pieces dwarf the walls. And he has a combination. It's a combination. His work is all personally inspired, bioautographical, stark on these massive canvases. Very often the faces are obscured, but what you see is the inner angst, the pain, and it is not a blaming pain. It is very African, the work. Very often the characters are shades of brown, but as they spread out along the canvas, it becomes just black and white, because ultimately what is important is the belly of the work, the belly of the humans. A lot of the work is very female inspired. He told me in our last 3 minutes, he was really encouraged by his mother, who's a seamstress, who, even though he was in engineering school, this guy, his mother pushed him to answer his inner muse. Does he make a living? So I said to him, do you make a living? I know a lot of artists. Does he make a living? He has shows internationally, this humble man who, when he needs inspiration, drives through the streets of Yeovil and Hillbrow and looks at the beggars and the armless and the limbless and the impoverished and the diseased on the streets and drinks in his bracha. He has three brothers still in Zimbabwe, who one is in medical school, one is studying sociology or engineering, and another one is becoming an accountant. They are all being supported by this humble giant named Great Joy Ndlovu. I really encourage you. You've got to check out his work. Mind-blowing. I was hoping that he would be so charmed by me that he would say, please, Andrea, take a canvas. That didn't happen. We did take a lot of selfies together. That was nice. I was very shocked by my size after a month in Johannesburg. We still know where I am. But really, it was an honor. I have to tell you, this Facebook thing, I also, please God, I'm going to get together with my new friend, Sean, who I met. Sean is colored. I love it. I mean, they still use this terminology here. Sean and his wife, Claudia, met them in a mall years ago. We became the greatest friends. The concerns of my children are the concerns of the coloreds, the blacks, the whites, anybody who is striving to make it here. All right. On the other side, we're going to talk about the cradle of humanity and birthday party for housekeepers in Johannesburg. See you on the other side.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
And we are back. Andrea Simintov, pull up a chair. Talking to you from Johannesburg. Okay, I keep saying this is my last word. I'm so Jewish. This is my last word. Better to be. Everybody here is frightened. They're under the gun. So many. To be a white man in Johannesburg now, or all of South Africa, is to be in a terrible, terrible economic situation unless you own your own business. They are now giving, it's across the board, they give 1 week salary as they fire you, what they call retrench you. I don't even know what that means. It's a big word, retrenchment, retrenchment. He was retrenched. People with homes, with mortgages, get 1 week salary for every year of employment. And I say, better be a street sweeper in Israel and hold your head high than live under the gun. All right. Good morning, Frank in Tennessee. And all of you are welcome for me not talking about Natalie Portman. I want to tell you right now, she's not coming on the show. Okay? We're all safe. We're safe from actors coming on my show. All right. So let's see. The other thing I wanted to share with you, I talked about Great Joy Ndlovu. Again, very moved. Yesterday, I meant to go to the Apartheid Museum because I knew that today's show was going to be my last show from Johannesburg. So I wanted to go to the Apartheid Museum. It meant a lot to me to also do the Soweto tour. Unfortunately, on a lot of levels, there's a terrible strike here in all through South Africa. They frequently strike. A lot of jokes about the strikes. You have to make your Shabbos well before Friday because the electricity can be turned off at any time, the gas. You can't be guaranteed to make your food on Friday. So there's a lot of jokes about it. But what's very interesting is this strike is, it's nationwide, and it's a strike that's emanating from the miners. There's enormous coal mining, platinum mining. There's enormous riches buried. The money that is earned here is laughable. People here, this is probably one of the only countries in the world where people exist on less than a dollar a day. They have offered the miners a concession salary of an additional 20 rand a day. 20 rand, I think it's 20 rand an hour. It is very laughing. The striking was, anyway, we decided not to go to Soweto. We decided not to do the Apartheid Museum because it could be very dangerous driving, getting caught up in the passions of the moment. And instead we went to the Cradle of Humanity. Now I was scared. Cradle of Humanity is all about the evolution of the earth from the beginning of time. Of course, the question is, when was the beginning of time? And my daughter, with whom I went, is not Torah observant. And yet she said many of her friends would not go with her because they said it was against. Well, you know what? I don't like being challenged. I don't like being threatened. You know, if they tell me to be on a television show and jump off a building holding onto a bungee cord, I say, yeah, let's go for it. I went to the Cradle of Humanity, most magnificent exhibit, very difficult to find, very difficult. They need work on street signs here in Johannesburg and outside, well outside the borders of Johannesburg. I saw towns. I saw farms. It was marvelous. I'm going to say something. The Cradle of Humanity, Cradle of Humankind. Yes, it is all evolutionary. They talk about Darwin. They show, they have all kinds of these. It's fun. It's a hands-on museum where you start with amoebas and end up with a human being on your left hand is an amoeba. The right hand is a human being. And then you have four wheels in between. When you line up all the wheels properly to evolve how the amoeba became a human being, the lights go on, cheers go out. There was nothing there that defied Torah. There was nothing there that was against Torah. The Torah talks about the explosions, the splitting, the creation. It was absolutely consistent with my creation beliefs. And I have to tell you, when I came out, I made an additional neder. I made additional promises to what I want to hold on to. It was marvelous. God is everywhere. There is nothing in this beautiful, earth-rich, people-rich, idea-rich, passion-rich world that is not Torah, and that includes the Cradle of Humankind. I really encourage you to visit there. So let's see. I did that. I visited my artist friend. I ate and ate and ate and ate. I will not try on the jeans I came with. Thankfully, my walking partner had to leave Israel for 2 weeks. So I have 2 weeks when I get back. Yes, yes, it's fine. You can wish me a good flight, Nesia Tova, to get back into shape. I hope my husband recognizes me in the airport. All right, one other very interesting thing I went to was a birthday party. My machatonim, my in-laws, have a housekeeper who has lived with them, my goodness, it must be more than 40 years. Very religious, very much a part of the family, and yet very old South African, carried my son-in-law, who is now a big chubby rabbi, but as an infant, he was carried on the back of Anna in the very typical manner. And Anna turned 80. And there is still very much, I mean, there's rules how people conduct their lives. The housekeepers keep to their world. The homeowners, both black and white, the haves versus the have-nots. And Anna turned 80, and I was invited to her birthday party. I must tell you, it was an experience. Went to the birthday party. Nobody was segregated, and yet segregation happened. The various maids were very happy. They were sitting on this beautiful indoor patio and sitting among themselves, and my in-laws and grandchildren, everybody was kind of milling about the other parts of the house, waiting for the birthday party to begin. And I walked into this room, and I was greeted by all these marvelous, you know, I know these women for so many years, and I met women there. My next visit's going to be to Swaziland. I have to tell you, I am meeting the greatest women from Swaziland. And I want to tell you something about Swaziland women. I am convinced that they are all Jewish because they talk and talk and talk. We couldn't get the Swaziland gals. Now, the Zimbabwean women were very, very quiet. So I was there, and because I came from Jerusalem, I was like a rock star. Their love of Israel from these various countries, Zimbabwe and Rwanda and Swaziland, I have to tell you, it was very, very humbling. The birthday party was fabulous. In all my years visiting South Africa, it was the first time I attended something that was so mixed. And so mixed and so much fun. And to be hanging out with all of these maids eating cheesecake and tuna salad like you're at a Jewish kiddush was very, very exciting. So let me see. What else are we talking about? Okay, we talked about retrenchment. We talked about my grandchildren are so spoiled. And this is where the whole audience says, how spoiled are they? Every night when you give them a bath, you have to put in different color food coloring. And one of them is at the stage where everything is poo. You know, it's like, you know, cocky duty talk. They talk like, you know, everything is poo. And they want, so we made black baths. We made red baths. I got to tell you something about food coloring. It does not come off fingers or French manicures that easily. Next week, when I come back, I'm going to be speaking from hopefully a warm and sunny Jerusalem. Please God, we're getting very close to the opening of the U.S. Embassy, and I'm going to invite both Jared and Ivanka over for dinner for Shabbos. I'm not sure they're going to make it. I will be emotional. Oh, I drove a car here. I'm sorry, really, totally ADD. I drove a car here. I drove in South Africa on the wrong side of the road. Very difficult, very hard. Every time I meant to turn on the blinkers, I promise you, I turned on the windshield wipers. Sunny, sun streaming. The windshield wipers were going constantly. I have missed you guys. I missed you from my kitchen table. I missed speaking and connecting to the Netherlands and to Tennessee and to Cyprus from my kitchen table. I'm going to be saying goodbye to Johannesburg. I will leave Johannesburg and not know the name of my 15th grandchild, but I feel that you were with me for it. And I feel that you laughed with me, that you cried with me, that you felt what it felt like to be a Jew, an Israeli Jew in Galus. And I look forward to seeing you every week. So it'll be more interesting to talk about South Africa from the other side, inviting them home. I invite all of you. my American friends, my European friends, my Canadian friends, Australian friends, and certainly the South African friends, start planning now. If you can't wear your kippah, if you're scared for your children, if you're not even free to observe whatever kind of Yiddishkeit you want, come home. Shabbat shalom u'mivorach from Johannesburg to Jerusalem. Bye-bye.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Norris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.